Well, good morning. Let's go ahead and give the choir and the orchestra another hand. And thank them for centering our heart and our mind again on who Jesus is. And that's what we're here to do today. And so we're so grateful you're here. I'm excited for us to continue to dive into God's Word together. My name is Grace Marie. I'm one of the pastors here. And we are wrapping up our series on the discipleship rhythm today. And so we're going to be looking at something really, really important together as we try to tie this whole series up to continue to fuel what we want to do going forward as believers. And so I don't know if anyone in the room would resonate with me on this, but growing up, especially with two brothers, I found myself a little bit competitive. I don't know if we have any competitive people in the room this morning. And whether it was simply just a board game or maybe athletics or school, I wasn't like super competitive when it came to school. My mother could attest to that. Not super competitive with school, but really just anything that I could work out to try to be better than the other person was a bit of a motivator for me. And from an early age, many of us learn when we work really hard, our goal was to receive a little trophy, okay? Anybody remember getting a trophy? Now, for those of us who grew up in a different age, so I grew up in the 80s, not everyone just got a trophy, okay, to the kids today. There was no such thing as participation trophies, okay? You had to earn it. You had to accomplish it. You had to work hard for it. And of course, like any proud parents would do, when me or one of my siblings would get a trophy or a certificate or any kind of award, we would get it proudly displayed somewhere in the house. And there was one particular room over the years that has turned into kind of like this space where all of our awards and trophies and things have been stored. And it really has been like a storage room in most recent years. But it's this particular shelf in this one room. You'd walk in and all they there are just displayed for all of us to see every time we went home. Now, I'm not going to say out of the three of us, me and my two brothers, who had the most awards on the shelf, but it wasn't me, unfortunately. I had a brother who was a big baseball player, so most of his stuff was up there, but it was a big deal. Now, I haven't lived at home for over 20 years, and this particular room with the shelf and all these trophies and awards have been there this entire time, until recently. And a couple of weeks ago, my brothers were there helping do a clean out for my parents of this particular room. I wasn't able to be there. And I get a text from one of them, and it says this: "Do you want any of these trophies?" Well, I thought to myself, I'm like, well, I mean, I don't really want you to throw them away, but I don't have any room for trophies. What am I going to do with trophies? I'm not going to bring my childhood trophies and display them in my office. That would be weird. But my idea was this. I'm like, well, can you just take a picture of each one for me? Can you just, you know, set it up just so I could have the memory of all these things that I had accomplished as a child? And he basically let me know they were way too dusty for that. And if I wanted to do that, I could come home and do it. So it was decided that all of my trophies that I'd worked so hard for were going to be loaded up in a barrel and taken to the garbage. And he sent me this picture. True story. There are some of my trophies that got sent to the dump. And I would just say my 12-year-old self would be absolutely mortified that this was what was going to happen to the things that I worked so hard for when I was younger. But the thing is, we learn really early on the desire or the need to accomplish things, to be honored or awarded for the things that we have done. And certainly there's nothing wrong with that in and of itself. It can actually be a good motivator for life. But I see often the problem ends up coming about when our drive or our desire to accomplish or achieve things in this life become who we are, our identity or our worth. We then actually miss something foundational about it, what it means to be human, created in the image of God. You see, when we begin to see our value only in what we've accomplished, we are starting in the wrong place. And as it's been said before, I'm sure you've heard it, we are human beings, not human doings. Now, why is this important? You know, over the past 6 weeks, we've introduced this discipleship rhythm, and this has been the booklet that's gone with it. And a part of what we've talked about every week is something that this graph shows, that for Mount Horeb and what we see from Scripture, we believe that a disciple of Jesus lives faithfully, communally, generously, humbly, and missionally. And we believe that these are core pieces to what it means to live as a disciple. And over again, we have kept reiterating, it's not a program to complete, but a rhythm to repeat. Now, I'm already tired thinking about repeating that, right? So at the same time, we must recognize that it is not, this discipleship rhythm is being introduced not for the sake of us trying to accomplish something. It's not because we're trying to earn anything with the Lord. It's not intended to add a bunch of to-do lists to your probably already too busy schedule. And if we look at all of this as something that we just need to do rather than allowing God to transform who we need to be, we've actually missed it. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Scripture together, and we're going to see the final piece that really holds this whole discipleship rhythm together. To really live like a disciple, to really live into these ways, we actually have to have a practice that will help us go the pace that we need to in order to live out and sustain this call of being a disciple. And that practice, as it's been alluded to several times today already, is the practice of rest. Rest. Now, for some of you, your immediate response is, whew, that sounds nice. I'm going to take my Sunday nap today. Now, for others of you, we're all wired differently. Some of you are like, rest? Why? I'm not tired. Let's go. Go week. Let's do it. But the rest that we see talked about in the Scriptures is an intentional rest. It's an intentional setting things aside. It's a soul kind of rest in order for you to be fully present in your life. So what we're going to do today is just kind of look at some practical things and reasons from Scripture why we could say that rest is so important to the life of a disciple of Jesus. And so we're going to look in several places today, but we're going to start in the book of Genesis. If you want to turn there, you can. Genesis 1, verse 31, and we're going to read into chapter 2 a little bit. But this takes us back to the very beginning in the story of creation, the very beginning of humanity. And this is what it says in Genesis 1, verse 31. It says, "Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation." You see, we see that God has spent 6 days creating, and then he rested. He stopped. It was finished. Now, this word for rest is the word Sabbath. It's a word I'm sure many of you have heard before. It means to cease, to stop, to rest. Pretty straightforward what it is there, and you see it all throughout the Scriptures. Now, I will say we're not going to go into all the things that the Sabbath was intended for and what we see in the New Testament as well. There's a lot to dive into, but we're just looking at why rest is important today for the believer. What we see is that here from the very beginning, God practiced this, and he practiced it not because he was tired, but because he was teaching. He was setting a pattern. He was establishing a rhythm for his created beings. And this is something that blew my mind the first time I really understood this and read this, is that Adam and Eve were created on day 6, which means that their first day was a Sabbath rest day. The first full day for Adam and Eve was a rest day. And here's why this is important. God had work for them to do. God had good work for them to do. Yet it actually started from a place of intentional rest, intentional presence with God, intentional presence with each other, and intentional presence with themselves. It started from that place. You see, the first reason I believe we need to see that rest is important is that rest is built into the rhythm of creation. It's a part of the creation story. It was there from the very beginning when God set things into motion for humanity. This was an intentional practice for them. And it's amazing for us to look at this and see this, right? Because we have to recognize that God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that we would struggle as humans. That we would struggle as humans and we would be tempted to just accomplish first. To do first. To make our life all about doing rather than being. And so God set this rhythm into creation for our relationships to be centered on him from the very get-go. You know, one of the authors and pastors that's been really influential for me, I feel like I quote him at least every other sermon, but specifically on what it means to rest and to practice Sabbath rest in our life is Rich Velotis. He wrote a book called The Deeply Formed Life. This was his first book, and it was really foundational. So a lot of the quotes and the things that I'll teach on today have been things I've learned from him as he's taught things about the scriptures. But here's one of the things he says in this book. He says, Sabbath keeping might be the greatest sign of grace because it is while we are intentionally accomplishing nothing that God loves us. Wow. That while we are intentionally accomplishing nothing, that God loves us. You see, Sabbath rest is designed to remind us of this beautiful grace that we aren't earning God's love, we're receiving God's love. And we need that reminder often, especially in a world that is so demanding. You see, to have a life of practicing Sabbath rest, it, for practical reasons, this is what it means. It means a 24-hour period that is set aside, that is different from your other 6 days of work. And it's a day where the work stops. All the work stops. Now, for those of you who are retired in the room, everybody say hallelujah. Okay. I know people are like, you know, how is this going to apply to me if we're talking about rest? But here's what I've learned, and I've had people affirm this and say this, is that a lot of times retired people can be more busy than anyone because everyone's like, well, you're retired. Can't you do this? Can't you serve here? Can't you volunteer? Can't you come help out at the church? So this is important for everybody because it has to do with whatever your rhythm and your responsibilities are during the week and in your life. There should be one day, a 24-hour period where you are willing to let it stop and set it aside to do something that looks different for the sake of your heart and your soul. This is practiced often as a sunset to sunset type 24-hour day. So the Jews practice it. It would be Friday evening to Saturday evening was their Sabbath day. A lot of people today practice it as their Sunday. Their Sunday is their day of Sabbath rest. And I bet that's probably true for many of you. For those of us who are in ministry full time, where today is considered one of our work days, we usually practice that on a Saturday or a Monday. But it's really important for us to recognize it is a time period where we stop the work that we typically are doing. Now, I'm sure some of you have played board games. I asked in the first service if anybody played the game Boggle. I was literally the only one. Yes, thank you. I'm not. Okay, we got a couple in this service. I was like, well, I'm the only one that's ever played that game. But it's a game that you use a timer like this. And so I love games that have the little hourglass sand timers, because you know when you start the round, you know, and it flips over, it immediately lets you know your 3 minutes has started. And in the Boggle game, there's a bunch of letters that are, you know, shaking around, and then your job for that 3 minutes is to write as many words as you can. And what that does, knowing that when that's out, the goal is that you stop, you put the pen down, you don't keep writing, you don't try to get in a few more words, you're supposed to actually stop and resist it. And knowing that there is the boundary there because you know the timer is about to end is something that actually helps me focus and use those 3 minutes a little wiser. And I think that's true for us today when it comes to our work week. You're supposed to stop, but let's be honest. Stopping our work for the week is not easy. It's not easy, especially in the days of email and cell phones and Facebook Messenger and Instagram DMs and laptops. People expect you to be available. People expect you to respond. People are really bad about this towards pastors and work. It's like, what do you do all week? You work on Sunday, answer the phone. It's like, okay, there's a lot of pressure there. Some of you may live your life thinking, well, you don't really deserve to rest until you're totally worn out. I hear this a lot from people. Well, I mean, I know it's going to be a busy few weeks, but I'm taking vacation in like a month. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. That's not how it's supposed to work. You see, it's not healthy for us just to think we have to push and we have to grind so hard for several weeks. And then we think, I'll just take some time off at the end of that. Because the problem with that is we think then that rest is a reward, and it's not. It's a gift. It's not like at the end of your month of going really hard, somebody hands you a little participation trophy and says, good job for working hard, now take vacation. No, it's a gift. And God wants us to live into that healthy pattern because he built it right in to creation from the beginning. And here's the second reason why it's so important for us to practice rest. Is that rest reminds us of our true identity. A lot of people today are having a bit of an identity crisis. And understanding who you are and how God has intentionally made you will help center you back on what your life should be about. Let's turn to the book of Exodus because we're going to go a little further in the story here. Exodus chapter 20. You can turn there. And I want to give you a little backstory because this is really, really important to know where this passage lands. The backstory is that God's people have been slaves in Egypt for over 400 years. And under Moses, God has led them out where they'll be going towards the promised land. They have been rescued from a life of being slaves. But God first helps them understand that they need a new way to live. And we call this part of Scripture the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. But this is who it was given to originally, these people who had just been rescued. So this is the fourth commandment. I'm going to read it for us. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, remember to observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you and your sons and your daughters, your male and your female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Now think about this group of people who would have heard this for the first time. They were slaves. Work was all they knew. It was their family history. It was what their mom did. It's what their dad did. It was what grandma and grandpa did. It was what all their friends did. It's what everyone in the neighborhood did. Everyone worked. They made bricks. From the morning to the evening, during the week and on the weekend, there were no holidays, there were no vacation weeks. Do you understand how mind-blowing that would have been for someone to come in and tell them, this is how you've lived, but now you have been rescued, and one of the first things that they are going to have to learn is they must practice a day a week where they don't work. And they had to do this every week going forward. You see, I believe so much of what God was doing when he gave the Ten Commandments is he was reminding them who they were, their true identity, what it meant to be a human. They had been living in slavery and working from sunup to sundown. Over 400 years of their history has been this, and now they are told, you are going to live into a new rhythm. You see, this type of Sabbath rest and stopping work would root them back to who they really were, that their worth and that their value were found in their Creator, God. You see, the discipline of practicing a day of rest like this reminds us of several things. It reminds you that you are not what you do. You are not what you make. You are not what you accomplish. You are not what you produce. You are God's people, and you must live like it. You see, while God had gotten them out of Egypt, he now needed to get Egypt out of them. And they needed to learn to live in freedom rather than slavery. And learning to practice a day of rest every week was one of the biggest ways that they could live free. But it's the same for us today, right? If we're really, really honest. We are people with too much to do and not enough time to do it. We wear ourselves out with all the things that we need to do. And then we add in all the things that we want to do. And then we think about, oh my goodness, all the things that we should be doing. And we're tired. We become slaves to our schedules. And too often, and this happens every time, too often it's God that gets pushed to the margins of our life. God is the thing that gets pushed to the margins of our life when we fill our schedules the way we do. And God's saying it's not supposed to be that way. You need to set aside time to refocus and recenter and be with me. It will fuel the rest of your life. You see, our inability to stop, to rest, to truly Sabbath is actually the evidence of our own slavery. And God is inviting us into freedom. Pete Scazzaro, who is a great author, wrote a book where he said this: if you don't have an intentional rhythm in life with God, you won't be able to sustain the work you do for God. And I thought that was so powerful. Because practicing Sabbath rest is about learning to lean in and pay attention to your life with God. And when we establish that weekly rhythm of doing that, it will shift something in us. It will recenter us. One of the things that I love about the concept of time is the Greek understanding of time were really two things. It's chronos time and kairos time. And so the difference here is chronos time is measured time. It's quantifiable. It's clock time. So we think 60 seconds in a minute, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 52 weeks in a year, so on. The clock keeps ticking, right? It's the way we organize everything we do as humanity. We live in chronos time. But there's another concept of time that we see. It's called kairos time. And kairos time is a different way to look at time altogether, because it's more about a moment. It's more about a shift that happens. It's more about a season where something is stirring. It's more about being qualitative instead of quantifiable. It's those moments that hold great significance in your life, but too often we're going too fast to even pay attention. You see, what happens with kairos time and chronos time is God operates in these moments within our time where he breaks in and he does things and he's doing things in our hearts and lives and in the lives of people around us. But too often we fill our schedules from morning to evening, 7 days a week, all the things we have to do, and we never stop and breathe and look around and reflect on the things that God may be doing. We won't slow down enough to even pay attention. But slowing down our pace actually helps us be present. Have you noticed that? Have you ever been around someone who they're so hurried in everything they do that you actually feel like they're not even present in the conversation they have with you. Their mind's already gone to the next thing they have to go do. But the people who really practice this idea of resting, if they could be more present when they're with people. And they're more attuned to the things that I feel like God is caring about all around us. N.T. Wright says it this way. He says, it is only when we slow down our lives that we can actually catch up to God. When we slow down our lives is when we can catch up to God. But let's be honest. We often associate fast as a positive thing and slow as a negative thing, don't we? Well, when I think of things that are slow, I automatically think negative because I think about things like dial-up internet. Anybody remember that? Praise the Lord, we're past that. Dial-up internet was a nightmare. Anyone under 30 is like, I don't know what you mean. How about traffic jams? Oh, we've certainly, slow-moving traffic is just one of the most frustrating things on the planet. So, of course, we see it as negative. How about the long lines at Walmart or any store you shop at that's going to make you actually late to your next meeting? That is so frustrating. Slow things are seen often as negative. But we love the fast things. We associate fast with Wi-Fi or fast cars or Amazon same-day shipping. I mean, that's like a miracle. How have they done that? Or we associate the real-time news updates we get. We expect to get the information when it happens. And we look at that as so positive. But here's the thing. When it comes to our actual life with God, we must learn the importance of slowing down. I always tell people one of my favorite things about our worship services here at Mount Horeb, which I was not accustomed to before I came and worked at this church over 13 years ago. And one of the things that we do every week is we have a prayer time in the middle of the service. I've never been a part of a church who does it like that. It's always like a response time at the end. But the more I have been here, after a couple years, I was like, wow, that is really powerful. Because how many times do we have moments like that during the week where as a group of people, we pause and we kneel and it's quiet. And we stop. And we admit our needs before the Lord. It's a practice that I think is beautiful corporately as a church, and it's a practice that we need in our own lives as well. Because when we practice this kind of rest in an intentional rhythm weekly, guess what? It's like detoxing from distractions. It's like centering in on the best things that God wants you to do. And even though it feels counterintuitive, right? Doesn't it feel counterintuitive to not be doing something? Like certain personalities are like, I got to be doing, like I should be emailing, I should call, I should check up with somebody. But when you've scheduled in time just to try to be present to your own life and the people that you have in your closest circle, that can feel unproductive. But guess what? It's actually the thing that will fuel your life the other 6 days if you practice it consistently. This is the rhythm that God has invited us into. And guess what? Jesus was the perfect example of this. Let's flip over to the New Testament in Mark chapter 1, and let's look at a story from the life of Jesus that I think is so telling about what kind of person that he was. But Mark chapter 1, 32 through 37, it says this. It says, that evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. And before daybreak, the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. And when they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. Everyone is looking for you, Jesus. Where have you been? Imagine the people who constantly demanded the attention of Jesus. Pastor Jeff caught me between services and he said, it may be helpful to even tell the people that they say over 40% of clergy in the church burn out because of this. Because they feel like everyone is always so demanding of them that they don't have their own soul care and can't be attentive to things in their own life. It's so important for everyone. But Jesus had these demands. Many sick people were brought to him. It says he healed many people. But guess what? He didn't heal everyone. When he left and he went to pray and he pulled himself away from the crowds, there were still sick people there. He was able to rest. He was able to pull away, to be alone with God, to stay connected to the Father, to be reminded of who he was. And guess what? His ministry to people actually flowed from that place. I wonder what our lives would look like during the week. I wonder if we would live more into the discipleship rhythm we've been teaching about if we actually intentionally rested and recentered ourselves every week instead of just go, go, go. But the disciples expected more for Jesus. Everyone is looking for you. I mean, have you ever felt that? I know I have. Sometimes I try to hide in my office here. Everyone is looking for you. I mean, if you're honest, doesn't it feel like there's always one more email to answer, one more phone call to make, one more appointment to set, one more meal to cook or drop off to someone, one more meeting to make, one more social media post to comment on, maybe just take that one out. One more church event to attend, one more volunteer need to fill, one more mission trip to sign up for, one more opportunity at Go Week. I mean, the list could go on. And too often, this is the danger, friends, too often we wear our ministry work like a badge of honor. We celebrate. Ooh, we never stop. Working for the Lord, I'll rest when I die. I hear people say that all the time. I'm like, well, but guess what? Jesus did. Jesus stopped. And if Jesus stopped, maybe we should too. He intentionally practiced a rhythm of rest to be reminded of who he was and his mission in life. And so we often don't practice Sabbath rest, and because of that, we end up carrying all these things in life, all these, the weight and the responsibilities and the good things and the bad things and the noises and the voices and all the things, and we continue to carry them, and I find that we often are carrying things we were never meant to carry. You see, but practicing rest is about learning to release those things. Practicing rest is about learning to release them. It's about learning to set those things down that you were never designed to carry, and also to set certain things down that you can pick up again on Monday, because you can't just go, go, go. And Sabbath rest, one of the things I love about understanding how it's built into creation, the Sabbath rest reminds us that even when we stop, guess what? The world keeps right on spinning. The world keeps right on spinning, and God is God, and I am not. And I wasn't designed to hold all these things in the first place. And when we learn to release things, guess what we're doing? We're ultimately learning to actually trust God. Psalm 46:10 says it, "Be still and know that I am God." They taught us this as kids, because I was taught the song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," if you know it. He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 And we, as kids, learned every verse. You know, he's got you and me, brother, the mamas and the papas, the tiny little baby. And that may seem just like such a simple song, but oh, how we struggle with that today. How we carry so many things we were never designed to carry. And our inability to release and set things down and rest and step aside and reconnect with the people closest in our life and reconnect with who God is, our inability to do that shows that we're trying to control so many things instead of trusting in God's hand, ruling and reigning over everything. You see, when we learn to really embrace this, when we learn to really embrace this truth of rest and pulling away, we will learn to release certain things like expectations that maybe you place on yourself to be better, to make more, to be this, I don't know, award-winning, whatever it is, to be the person who never misses any event at the church. It could go on and on. Expectations maybe that you've put on yourself, or maybe expectations other people put on you. It's a chance to release that back to the Lord. How about it's a chance to release yourself from the noise of everyone around you? We are in a world today where we could get a 24/7 news cycle and update. We could be bombarded with the bad things that are going on constantly. And though in some ways it's great to be connected to what's happening in the world, we were never meant to carry all of that, because we're overwhelmed and we can't actually do something about all of that. So maybe there's an opportunity to take a day of the week where you don't get on social media, maybe where you don't turn on the news, maybe you silence the voices of those things all around you so you could be more present to the things that God is speaking. Maybe you need to be able to release the pressure to respond to everybody and to be available to whoever, because guess what? People aren't just demanding your time. People end up demanding your soul, because you're forsaking the things that should be most dear to you when you are available 24/7 for people. Not even Jesus did that. You see, your soul wasn't designed for everyone to have an all-access card. Your soul wasn't designed for that. Another thing Rich Velotta says, which I love, is he says Sabbath is not just rest from making things. It's rest from the need to make something of ourselves. I love that. It's rest from the need to make something of ourselves. Remember, to receive God's grace, even while we're intentionally accomplishing nothing, is what we saw on the first Sabbath day. You see, the reality is, this morning, there may be people here who have a really hard time resting. There may be people here today that have so many things on your to-do schedule that you feel so overwhelmed that you say, I don't have time to break away. And I'm preaching to myself. I'm literally not practicing what I preached this week to confess to you. I literally worked every single day this week up until last night working on this message. So now I'm like, okay, I'm preaching about Sabbath. I gotta find some sort of time this week where I can pull away. But the pressures of things can build up so easily. And so maybe for you and for me included, we need to figure out how can we best plan time for our soul to reconnect with who God is. I love the invitation of Jesus, because this is the invitation for everybody today, no matter where you are. Matthew 11:28, it says this. This is Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. You see, the reality is, people have heavy burdens. Is anyone weary today? Is anyone carrying a heavy burden? Guess what? Your rest is not found just by taking 24 hours and setting it aside. Your rest is actually found when you can connect to the person of Jesus. And when you connect your life to the person of Jesus, you can lay everything out before him. And he will be the purpose behind everything you do every day of the week. You see, what I realize is that when we rest in Jesus, the reason we can rest is we know our past is taken care of, our future is secure, and our present has meaning because he's with us. And my challenge to all of us is that the world today is weary. The world around us is carrying heavy burdens, and they're burdened by the weight of sin. And if the church would rise up and take seriously the teachings of Jesus and spend time connecting with him, I imagine that our lives out during the work week or whatever schedules we follow could be so much more intentional. We could be so much more present. We could be so much more missional in how we live our lives if we're continually connecting to him and being centered on who he is. So that is the invitation today. The invitation is to recognize that we don't need to try to strive and accomplish and add things to our to-do list. We just need to simply come to Jesus and rest in him and live a life that points others that they can rest in him as well. So this morning, we're going to have just a moment where we have just silent prayer. We could just sit and ask God to help reveal to us how we might begin to practice this Sabbath rest in our life so that we could fully embrace and live and keep up with the pace of living life as a disciple, just as he called us to. Let's bow our heads this morning and ask God to speak to us. God, we pray today that whatever people have walked into this space with, their busyness or their schedules, thinking about the week ahead, the work and responsibilities and opportunities that we each have, Lord, I pray that we would not push you to the margin of our life, but that you would be at the center of our life and that everything we do would flow out of that relationship with you. May you help us be the disciplined people to live into that rhythm in the way that you've called us to. It's in the holy and in the powerful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.